Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is July 26th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the trade of all-pro safety Jamal Adams from the Jets to the Seattle Seahawks, a huge trade that really shook up the NFL. We're also going to be discussing a little small minor trade that happened between the Chicago Bears and the Miami Dolphins that we'll be following immediately after that. Now, this will be a pretty short episode. I'm recording this currently in the middle of a hurricane. If you guys know, I live in South Texas towards the very bottom near the border of Mexico, and right now we are being currently hit by Hurricane Hanna. So that's definitely a first for the podcast, but just keep that in mind if you hear noise in the background. You know, I'm not sure if it's still a Category 1 or if it changed into a tropical depression. It kind of made landfall a little bit further north, so it isn't a direct hit where I am, but there's definitely a lot of rainfall. So let's get into the news about the NFL, and first we'll begin with the trade of Jamal Adams, all-pro safety for the New York Jets. He had been wanting a trade for a long time, and the team that was connected to him very frequently was the Dallas Cowboys, who was very vocal about wanting to go to the Cowboys, and he was also very vocal about just wanting to get out of New York. And then he made comments yesterday saying that Adam Gase was not the right leader to be there in New York for the Jets. And once you say that, once you say your head coach is not the right leader, I don't think there's much else that can be done. So they elected to trade Jamal Adams to the Seahawks. They got a pretty big return in this trade. They got two first round picks in 2021 and in 2022. They also got a third round pick in 2021 and safety Bradley McDougal in the deal. They send over Jamal Adams as well as a fourth round pick in 2022. The trade as of right now is pending physicals. So before we even get into whether which team won or which team lost or how this is going to turn out for both teams, first I have to say that this was something that was on the horizon for a long time. If you've been listening to the podcast, I said this months ago that I would be shocked if Jamal Adams is on the team by the end of the year. And I said not just him, but Le'Veon Bell. I still expect both of them to not be with the Jets by the end of the season. And of course, now we had the first domino falling in Jamal Adams. So to get right into whether I think there's a winner or a loser, people always want to see, you know, did a team get fleeced? Did the deal lopsided in any sort of way? It's very hard to make those judgments beforehand. You never really know how the player is going to perform in a new system, how the draft picks on the other end are going to turn out. So it's very hard to make those kind of judgments early on. But to just look at the trade itself, if you look at what the Jets got in return, I mean, they gave up an all-pro safety. They gave up a player that gave them the best chance at being a very good football team right now. And with Adam Gase, who I think is very much on the bubble, the guy needs to have a solid season. This is a huge issue for him and being able to compete this year. But for the Jets, I mean, you got about as good of a deal as you could hope for. You got two first round picks out of this and a pretty solid player in this trade. So the Jets, in my eyes, got best case scenario trade. It gives them an opportunity where you have a very, a legitimate chance to rebuild if this season sort of falls apart, or, you know, just how everything is kind of chaotic this season, whether you want to turn away from Adam Gase and start looking for a new coach in the future. They're set up pretty nicely and put in a position where they can do, some sort of a mini rebuild. But for Adam Gase, this is not something that he is going to like at all. I mean, you gave up an elite talent. You're not getting it back. You're not going to see that till the future on a team that you don't even know if you're going to be a part of. So I think that is going to be rough for him. And I know a lot of people, are against Adam Gase. They don't think he is a legitimate coach. And I'm kind of leaning more towards that side of the argument. I saw Omar Kelly said that he still believes in Adam Gase and that his leadership shouldn't be questioned. My issue with Adam Gase, and, you know, I'm sure in the future, you know, if he continues to grow and progress and, you know, change some of his mistakes, that he could grow into being a good coach. Much like players grow into being good players, he needs to make some adjustments as well. Because the way I look at him, he right now is still too arrogant. He has this overconfidence, I believe, in his own system that he thinks he is Bill Belichick and he can just trade away talent and plug in any average player and downplay the importance of having these really talented guys on the team because he is very confident in himself. And typically, that is something that you would want to hear, but with Adam Gase, I think it borders borders on arrogance. It borders on being reckless. And I think that is going to be his demise, this current tenure with the Jets. Hopefully in the future, you know, I don't want to root against anyone. Hopefully he can change that and find some sort of balance and turn into a successful coach with a different franchise. But as it stands right now, those are just my thoughts on that. Now, if we look at this trade from the other side, from the Seahawks, now they gave up a lot to get him. There are a few teams that I could say that this would make sense for. The Seahawks are one of those teams. They are a team with a very clear window right now. They're a team that has a lot of positions set. They have their franchise quarterback. That is massive. They have a nice little committee of running backs. They have some hidden gems at wide receiver with Tyler Lockett, with DK Metcalf. They have, you know, 1,000 tight ends. It seemed like they all got hurt, but when they all stepped in, they were all pretty good. And then when you look at the defensive side of the ball, they have a ton of talent there. And when the Seahawks are better is when they have an elite level defense that can kind of dominate the game, when they can slow the pace of the game down to the point where they're kind of betting on Russell Wilson just playing very efficient ball, which he seems to always do, and then sit back and rely on the defense. It seems like that is when the Seahawks are at their best. And by doing this trade, I think they are kind of going back to their old ways, their sort of Legion of Boom-esque days. And I think this is a great move for them. The only thing is, now you're going to have to pay potentially Jamal Adams a massive contract, and you gave up a lot to get him. It could be, you know, if you watch basketball, kind of Kawhi Leonard-esque. Kawhi Leonard, you know, it ended up good because they won the championship with him in that one-year deal where they traded a bunch to get him. But if they don't win the championship that year, he took off and he went to the Clippers. I mean, so they run the risk of them trading a bunch and they don't have him secured long term. As of right now, you know, I'm sure the sentiment is that they have a lot of confidence that they will be able to do it, that this is a right match. And Jamal Adams is probably, you know, if you saw the Instagram video where he was just extremely happy, just, you know, puffing on a cigar and just seemed ecstatic to be out of New York, you know, then I'm sure that they have some general feeling that a long term deal will be coming in place with the Seahawks. So overall, a good move that makes the Seahawks very, very good this season. It's a move that I think for the Jets could help them in the long term, because, you know, it was clear this relationship was too damaged. But the only clear loser I can see in this trade is the Jets' current staff, Adam Gase, everyone over there, Le'Veon Bell too. Le'Veon Bell right now is in a huge argument with Jamal Adams, and he's, you know, showcasing on Twitter, talking about, you know, we'll see each other again on week 14. But the thing with Le'Veon Bell, it doesn't seem like he's mad that Jamal Adams left the Jets. It seems like he's mad because Le'Veon Bell was convinced to come over here and now he's stuck there. And that's kind of the general sentiment. It doesn't seem like Le'Veon Bell is too committed to the Jets, but he's more mad that their star player left him alone there. So those are my thoughts on that. Seems like the Jets are kind of beginning to unravel. Now, if we move on to the trade that the Bears made with the Miami Dolphins get tight end Adam Shaheen in exchange for a conditional 6th-round pick in 2021. Now, Shaheen was somebody who, way back in the draft, when he was selected in 2017, was referred to as Baby Gronk at times. The guy is massive, 6'6", 257 pounds. The guy is an absolute unit. He is massive. I look at Mike Gesicki and how I kind of talked about in this system, he could kind of play as that hybrid Quincy Enunwa role. Like, is he a tight end? Is he a wide receiver? Well, when you look at Adam Shaheen, it is very obvious what he is. He kind of fits more of the traditional tight end role. He is a tank. I believe they are bringing him in with the intention that he will primarily be used as a blocker and maybe a red zone threat here and there. So who knows how that will pan out. As of right now, I'm just looking at him as somebody who could provide some decent competition. You don't really give up too much to get him. There is some upside, I guess. I'm not too you know, hyped up about this move. He has dealt with a ton of injuries throughout his whole career. In 2017, his game time was limited. In 2018, he was placed on the injured reserve. In 2019, he only played in 8 games. So he has battled a ton of injuries. It's safe to say that he has, as of right now, not lived up to that second round standard that he was kind of being held to. But the Dolphins, if you saw what they did last year, they were making some pretty good talent out of these unknown players. You look at Nick Needham, you look at Devontae Parker's turnaround and him kind of having a resurgence, and just a ton of other guys on the roster. So I'm not going to bet against the Dolphins and their staff and their ability to develop players and kind of find these hidden gems. But But as it stands right now, I'm just looking at this as a solid move at best for the Dolphins. But I will say, watching a little bit of his film, the guy is sneaky athletic after the catch. I mean, he's not Travis Kelce, he's not George Kittle, he's not Zach Ertz by any means. He is just a big guy. But even after the catch, it seems like he embraces contact. He's able to get some decent separation and pick up, always fall forward, always pick up those extra yards. And I really like that about him. So I'm very curious to see what they get here in this move. But if you look around Twitter and you look at what the positives that people are saying about him, it's a lot of notes that are dating back to his college days. And that's not a good thing to hear, that a player doesn't really have any sort of portfolio or any positives in his four-year career as a veteran in the NFL, that a lot of the positives are them digging through what he was able to offer in his college days. But again, the Dolphins have shown with their current staff, they have been pretty good at developing these unknown players and finding hidden gems. So, like I said, not betting against it. And guys, that is how I'm going to wrap it up. If you could follow me on Twitter, that is at Shady Steven, or follow the podcast account, I would appreciate that. That is at Via the Source. If you could leave a review on the Apple Podcast app or wherever you listen to the podcast, it is a tremendous help. And I am very grateful for you guys doing that. And I have a YouTube channel where I've been posting some videos lately. If you could give that a subscribe, if you have a YouTube account, it would be a huge help. I'm trying to hit the 1,000 subscriber mark, and that would be awesome. That is a huge milestone for me if I could do that. And that is how I'm going to wrap it up, guys. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via the Source.